Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Okay. So here you are, again, yet another step in your journey toward what you might be comfortable, probably are if you came to this room, calling it a spiritual awakening. Here you are taking another step with a verb. You're actually doing something with your body, with your time. Big fat book. It's got a workbook in it with 365 easy to follow steps. There are meetings down the street, they only have 12. We have 365. Some of you are from that 12-step program. Some of you are here because you found similarities that are just too much to ignore. It's a verb now that you're involved in. Right? A verb is an action word. It means something's happening. You're doing something. A verb also means that change is expected by you. That's a doing. A Course in Miracles describes itself differently from any other work or practice I've seen, because it says, no, this is an undoing. A Course in Miracles is very specifically an undoing to the blocks that you've placed in your own mind to the awareness of love now. An undoing of those blocks. It's very important that this occurs because you're busy doing blocking with your ego, with your stinking thinking, with your dark thoughts, with your worry, with your guilt, either towards you or towards somebody else, with your doubts, with your fears, with your fixation on your body and other people's bodies and what they think about your body, feeling guilty about what you think about their body. All of that is doing. Another verb, isn't it? What this book calls separation. What the Eastern pursuits call duality. Is something that you actually observe with your mind. And then it becomes real for you. That's quite the verb. We're here taking yet another step. We're doing something. We're taking another step in your spiritual awakening. Another thing I like about A Course in Miracles is it says there is no neutral. You have not been coasting for any part of your life. Neither will you in this meeting. A Course in Miracles is very specific and it says you are either awakening or further sleeping. You're awakening to light, holiness. You're awakening to the awareness of your true self with each thought. Or you are taking a step in the other direction, which we conveniently call sleeping or dreaming. Away from your oneness, away from holiness, away from love, it turns out. Very specifically. There is no neutral. There is no coasting.
No excuses.
So it turns out, there's no excuses, because if you think you're coasting and you're not feeling, keyword now, lighter, you are feeling heavier. You're practicing whatever you felt a minute ago has returned by momentum, by habit. Worse, it's what you've chosen to trust. That's what you get. What you've chosen to trust. Another verb! What about all this meditation and going still and being perfect just the way you are. Isn't that spirituality? Don't we get to meditate for 45 minutes wordlessly and then somehow be healed? What about that? That's not Course in Miracles. Course in Miracles says you are deeply, deeply addicted to the ego. You are a user of the ego. If you do nothing, you will continue to be what you trust. You will find your safety in your chosen drug, which is the ego. Just like with alcohol or the drugs, if you don't do anything, you will continue to follow the pattern of your drug, thinking it will make you happy. And for a short time it will, but then all those costs add up and you think, ah. This is Ego's Anonymous, essentially. Yes, my name's Andrew. I'm an egomaniac. But you're addicted. You're addicted. Guilt, fear, loss. But you already know that. That's why you came here. If you've read any of the book, you've said, whoa, I could be free of fear? Did I read that right? Fear? You could actually be free of fear. Yeah. But that's like putting the drug down. And your deep beliefs that drive you to think that fear is somehow protecting you. That's deep. That seems like the human condition. You can't mess with nature, you say. Fear is natural. Fear is what kept you alive all these years. Fear has kept you out of all the problems, you say. Fear has been a good friend, you say. This is your ego. At best, it's your spiritual ego. Finding practices that will support healthy fear. Guiding you from that pit in your stomach. Course in Miracles says, excuse me, perfect happiness should be your guide. Peace is your guide, not fear. That's why I love that word, enlightenment. When you practice in the correct way, where you're free and you're peaceful and joyous and you feel like loving, when that happens, you feel lighter. You actually feel lighter. I mean, it's literal. So, this is what we do every week, and this is what this book does, in 1,300 pages, is guides you on this path I've described. Tonight, we're going to dig in a little deeper on what we stepped right in last week. It's also time to bust your ego a little bit. You know, call your attention to where you've been putting your efforts. What do you believe will make you happy or safe? We're busting the ego a bit tonight. For the next couple of minutes, 5 or 7 minutes, we'll make it a little briefer, 5 or 7 minutes. We're going to sit and we're going to think about a few things. One phrase. And what I want you to do is I want you to try to find this understanding in you for you. This is a little lecture you're going to give yourself. We'll talk a lot afterwards, but this may be the whole meat of the meeting for you in the next 5 minutes. Because you're coming out of your life in a safe place, surrounded by like-minded people with the intent to heal their minds. A healed mind will go with you, whatever happens to your body. And by the way, spoiler alert, you're all going to die. Oh, no! But it's... Sorry, I'm just summing it all up. Bottom line. End of the sentence. Even a good lived life, you die. But if your mind is healed, guess what? If your mind is healed, that's no end, is it? If your mind is busy with the ego, it is an end and it's dark. So, that's worth that. That's worth a little effort. So, for the next couple of minutes, let's work on healing your mind. So, that, the rest of your life, every day, every morning you wake up, for the rest of your life. You have taken a spiritual step tonight on your path to awakening. That would just change everything for the rest of your life. Because you'd be a little lighter. Imagine your darkest moment, but it's just a little lighter because you've chosen to unburden yourself with one little bit of fear. Your depth of guilt or your depth of loss, your depth of fear is a little more shallow, maybe, after tonight. That would be good. Darkness still comes, but it would be good. Okay, so let's dig in.
It's been attenuated by spiritual practice.
Thank you. That's right on point. Yeah. You weren't even here last week. Where's Barbara?
He was here.
Were you here, though, John?
I believe I was here last week.
Yeah. I second that.
He was hiding in that corner like he always does.
John, welcome back.
Well, you're in your corner.
All right, you guys, settle down. We'll take bets out in the hall. All right, so thank you. That's right to point.
Practice. What did he say?
He said your practice will make a difference on what happens, and that's what Barbara said last week.
And your hold on guilt will be lessened.
Because if you don't practice lightening up, you will be practicing darkening down. There's no neutral. It's a verb, because this whole world is a verb. You don't coast. Thank you. So in practice, you all know what I mean by practice, right? Spiritual practice, right? You meditate. Do you do your...
It's a verb, isn't it?
What?
It's a verb, isn't it?
It's a verb. Yes. Do you read? Do you listen? Do you... You know, you have a practice that helps music, some people. Art, other people. But you have something that sort of centers you. So that you can choose peace. You might have a practice to do that. A Course in Miracles is absolutely a practice to do that. It's written down for you, though. You don't have to interpret what some teacher said. It's actually written down. Using the Julian calendar, you know what that is? 365 days. One lesson for each day of the year. It's written down for you. What to do each day if you so choose. So that you can have more peace in your life. That's what it is. So, yes. Now, in a practice... It turns out, since there's no neutral, once you've decided you want to awaken, it's like deciding you're going to stop using heroin or stop using alcohol. If you use alcohol, you'll get the alcohol's effects. So you'd have to actually, as a verb, not use the alcohol. It's not like there's something else to do. There's something to not do. But then, if I said there's something specific to do, and you had to follow 16 steps, unless it's Tuesday, then there's a 17th step. What? That sounds like it's going to be hard. Don't worry, because the county, they've got it printed out in triplicate. You can get a copy. Make sure you read. What? That's doing something very specific. That's not A Course in Miracles. Oh, thank God. There's nothing to count. There's nothing to memorize. Despite all these words, this is an undoing. The book is only a guide to help you personally choose to stop doing what it is you've personally been doing to make what it calls your own personal private hell. You know what I'm talking about. You probably spent some time there. If you're doing a practice, it turns out that this meeting, or when you sit in your cushion at home, or you drive in your car, you're actually still practicing. Isn't it just the times when we come into a nice room with pillows? You spend more time practicing the ego than you do practicing your enlightenment, probably. That's all right. Because it turns out You know, the other option is get an orange robe and go to India with a begging bowl, and then you can spend all day in a cave for years. Turns out, that's the slow way. It can be really slow. We've had people here who've done that. 20 years of Vipassana. Sat where Sharon's sitting.
And says, what did you call that?
Vipassana is a type of meditation that's a focused thinking.
Vipassana. Vipassana, okay.
Yeah. A monk does, sits down with a robe, tries to shoo themselves of everything else important but their meditation. It works. Doesn't necessarily work fast. Neither does A Course in Miracles. I gotcha. That's why I'm here. All right. So practice turns out, for your awakening, for your peace of mind, it must become something you do every day, all day. It must at least become available. That's why I like that this one is printed in a book and I can carry it. Or if you got your cell phone, it's on your phone now. The whole thing, every word. If you got audio, I recorded the whole thing word for word on the website. No excuses, he said. The practice, if you're serious and you want to awaken in this lifetime, then each step you take, as best you can, each step you take should be one that is up the staircase. The benefit is you'll be a little higher and a little lighter for every step you take in. And what that means is you're now a little stronger to handle something in the world. Sickness, money, loved ones that said the wrong thing that tries to bring you back down. You're higher. If you do come down, you won't go as low as before because you started out higher, literally freer, more stronger. Fortitude, you might call it. Your sobriety was stronger before the incident happened for some of you 12-steppers, which I'm not, by the way, so feel free to correct me at any time. I just love that analogy. So, practice, right? Tonight we're going to use a couple of words from the paragraph. It's basically talking about your practice. That's what we're really talking about. But they're kind of nice because, yeah, means and end. Means and end. I just want you to think about those two words for the next 5 minutes. In the perspective of practice. Means. What you do. How you do it. In other words, your life, your thoughts. Okay? An end. What are you doing? Where is this going in your mind? If you don't know where you're going, anything will get you there. You may as well say, I'm already there. I'm perfect. Om. Done. But then you will have the level of fear, guilt, and happiness that you've already got.
You're kidding yourself. In other words.
You're kidding yourself. There's more. Thank goodness.
Sure there is.
Yes. All right. So, let us take a few minutes and think about these two words and what they mean to you personally, and I'll help you along the way. Means and end. In your practice. Let's start with the end. Course in Miracles does. What the hell are you doing? Right? Isn't there a focus? Isn't there something? A horizon? Something, if you lift up your head, you say, that's where I'm going. This is why I would even get near a 1,300-page book. It has the word love. And God spread throughout it. What? are you doing? What do you hope to accomplish with a spiritual awakening? This is very personal. There's no right answer. There's your answer. What do you honestly expect to achieve in this lifetime? And now the means. This is a commitment that you would make to yourself. Just pick something in your mind. Just what's something that you will do for you that will bring you closer or in the direction of the end that you seek. It's important that you choose, that you see what you're doing, that you commit to yourself and you take that step. Not because somebody told you to, because you decided to. It's only one you're going to do anyway. So just a word or a phrase, if you would, on what you expect to achieve in this lifetime with this work or your work, your enlightenment. Jay, what do you got?
Nothing.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Yeah!
You're a lucky guy.
Tell us more.
The only end, the means to an end, the only end that I'm interested in is the end of time.
Yes.
And that's already been accomplished.
Yes.
So I need do nothing.
So you come to the truth of nothing.
Yeah.
You could finally rest.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that I will, but I can.
But you could.
Yeah.
Because you'd actually embrace the true nothing.
Yeah.
Rather than the cacophony of everything that's changing all the time. May you have your enlightenment. David, what do you expect this to bring you?
To be able to do the forgiveness the way it's meant to be.
Yes.
Not the way the ego does it.
Yes. In A Course in Miracles, the way forgiveness is described, great for you newbies, it's not what's in the dictionary. Forgiveness in A Course in Miracles is an undoing. A letting go of your thoughts of guilt, darkness, fear,
judgment,
thank you. Making things small. To be able to let go of that habitual thinking is the forgiveness of A Course in Miracles. And you don't forgive something out there, do you?
No. The ego goes and sees, oh, you did something wrong. I'm going to forgive that, though.
That's what the ego says.
I just made it real.
Yes.
Where the Holy Spirit, the real way of doing it, is the fact that nothing, like this guy said, nothing happened.
Right. You're
there's no guilt, so just let it all go.
You're forgiving your own noisy monkey mind that's doing the judging, measuring, condemning, guilting, fearing, worrying. That's all in your head. Nobody's doing that to you. Not even if they stole something from you, divorced you, gave you a sickness, the world, the God. None of that happened. It's what you make of it that you're suffering from. Not the pain you incurred, not the loss you can measure. It's what you think about the loss you can measure. That's your real problem, monkey. So forgiveness is the tool, of Course in Miracles, to let that silly thinking go and be peaceful now. That would be enlightenment. That would be enlightenment, wouldn't it? So much lighter. May you have your enlightenment.
Very peaceful.
Yes. Emily, what are you doing?
Surrendering to this, whatever this is.
Yes. Surrendering. Yes. The habit is hanging on. The habit is go back to the bar, drink some more, do some more yelling, do some more fearing, do some more egoing. That's the habit. Don't quite know the other way yet, But you are willing to let go of the old way that has caused all the chaos to date. That's huge. Dare I say, were you to surrender the old way? Were you to surrender, just stop doing that, even though you don't know what to do next, like you've described to us. If you just stop doing the old patterns, you would feel very much lighter. You would also not have wrinkles on your forehead, and your shoulders would drop, and people would not feel they need to defend against you. Suddenly barriers drop on both sides. That is enlightenment. For sure. May you have your enlightenment. Surrender. Start now. Again. Done.
So
what?
Unraveling.
Yes.
You know, just everything that we've been taught, conditioned to think, and just letting, unlearning everything that my brain does.
This is key. Unlearning. Isn't that a verb?
Yes.
To learn and then to unlearn? You actually had to look at the memorize or build the habit by learning. Unlearning. That's what forgiveness is. It's actual unlearning. Now, the miracle must come first. The miracle says, this is what you learned to miss. The miracle says it's a correction. A miracle is a correction that occurs to your mind. You've learned amiss. So to unlearn is to stop practicing what is now amiss.
All day practice all night.
Otherwise.
Every thought that comes through, you got to transmute it. Comes through negative, you got to automatically switch it over to positive.
Yes.
If possible. And just like even with people, you know, if someone says something to you, it's like right away, this is not some illusion. All day long, just telling myself this. And now when things start to happen,
yes.
I've gotten so much stronger.
Yes.
It's like you said with the steps, like, yeah, I'm no longer at the bottom step where I used to fall, you know, victim to everything that would happen. Now I drop back a little bit, feel the emotions, you know, let them go through, and just realizing it's all an illusion, but I'm still feeling it first and then letting it go.
You've made priceless progress going up the staircase that you're not willing to let go. Here's the good news. Even if you did let it go, if somehow you fell down the stairs, right, flat on the back, to where you said you would never be again.
All it takes is a bottle of vodka for me, and I'll be down those stairs.
Right? No, this is true. This happens. This happens, right? You know, this happens. But you having been up the staircase through your own efforts, not because somebody held you there or put you there, that's key. Any spiritual program that says you can get it, that's not it. The truth is in you. The love is in you. What need to be expressed? If there is good or something you might call God, or if love exists at all, it's not out there. It's in you, waiting to no longer be blocked. When you do this climbing of the staircase, and you find yourself by your own thoughts, by your own work, choosing freedom for yourself as you have done, there is no going back. Even though you fall down the staircase and you get really angry, you take your drug again, and you find yourself bloop on the bottom, you know you don't have to stay there. See, that's new. And that's for keeps. This is part of your spiritual waking. You can never lose. It's the awareness of the enlightenment and the awareness that you did that. Not some book, not some church, not some person that with the right incense or no. Wow. You actually have that power. You know it because you did it. Okay? That's what never goes away. Not now, not for this lifetime, and not for your existence. And that's our major learning here is the power of your mind.
Wow.
So yes, that unraveling is worth it. And nobody can take it away from you. Not even the vodka. Good, good, good. New girl.
Cherie. Contentment.
Yes. Honestly, contentment. That's a good payoff. That's a good state. contentment. Worth it?
I hope so. It better be.
You might be content if it works. No, you would be content, because that is the goal. You are creative. You learn in this book, the power of your mind is no small power. And were you to be sincere enough to actually make it your will, and not a wish, not a fantasy, not a dream, and not a hope, were contentment to be your choice, and were you to understand how much power is in you, you learn very quickly how close to you is your goal. You'd be very surprised, and you'd be very content to find out. May you have your enlightenment. Sharon, what are you going to get from this? What have you already gotten?
Look at quieter, just nice.
Yeah.
Just quiet and enjoy.
And enjoy.
Yeah, just those two things would be great.
Yes. Yes, you know, the world keeps coming at us with costs. And it's really hard to enjoy something that is about to hit you with a bill. But were you to be able to enjoy honestly, owning the enjoyment as you, not as you, not something you get in the world, you have to get lucky enough to be happy because you had time, or you had money, or you had calmness in the house, or whatever. That's the world. But with this material, were you to learn something about the truth, the present moment, and own that even for an instant, contentment comes. The spaciousness of understanding nothing is actually happening right now comes through the practice of forgiveness, through the unraveling of all your habits. You arrive at that simple surrender to right now. The same thing the monk would be doing with 20 years of sitting, trying not to think about the stock market. You would have instantly, were you to do nothing. Enjoyment comes in immediately. Mario, what are you doing?
Well, I just got introduced to a new glass of spirit.
Yes.
Because, you know, the ones that we're talking about were the spirits that we were drinking.
Yes.
But that's why they call it spirits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a whole different spirit. I got the right spirit now.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I just got the ingredients to turn water into wine?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Yes. So you know spirit means breath, right? And so air. And so, take an easy breath, Mario.
No, it's just that, you know, I'm in a place where I'm recultivating everything in my, I know this is my body, but
yes.
My nutrition is the main part of
yes.
going through this journey of just healing myself and
yes.
and being on top of the truth of our journey.
Can you see spirit with your eyeballs? I don't know. No. You can see things material with your eyeballs. They're actually not unspiritual. It actually blocks the spirit. When you use your eyeballs, which are designed to see only part of the spectrum, to report to you the shape of that post, that's all you're going to... Oh, man! Not the spirit. The spirit's invisible. Miracle Principle 17. Invisibility. Good. Seal the...
You got it right earlier.
Well, I had some help. Celise!
Yeah.
What?
I think, ultimately, I mean, all of those things, yes, but joy, and I think I want to be love.
Be love. Not get love. You're in the right meaning. She doesn't want to be loved. She said be loved. This is so important, the perspective of those words you chose. Here's why. If you're in a dark room and there is a light, let's call it love, okay? But there's a light. And the light goes on, but it's over there. Barbara's holding it. Won't there be a shadow behind that post? Mm-hmm. And Julie's going to be in it. Mm-hmm. I can see the light. I can see Barbara. And it's very bright. Ooh, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. Isn't that love beautiful? Julie's like, what? It's dark where I am, and frankly, it's getting cold. No, you're missing it. You're missing it.
What? Poor Julie.
Poor Julie. Mm-hmm. But if it is so important when we discuss love, what love really is, you know, it's so far beyond a short conversation. But here's a piece of it. She said it. When you understand what this Course in Miracles calls the law of God, the law of spirit, the law of truth, all the same, as you give, you receive. Period. It's easy math. Turns out to be truth. As you give, see, that's how you receive. That means if there's going to be any love, you have to be it. And you give it. And that's exactly how you receive it. And that's how much you're going to receive. And a perfect circle is drawn. An unending source. Because if it comes from you in truth, and you want more, guess where you go for it? Oh, good. There's more where that came from. Not from your body. Not from the thing you see in the mirror. We've moved to a spiritual discussion of truth. To be love. May you have your enlightenment. It's beautiful. Yeah, but it's a different way of thinking, isn't it? It's way different from what the ego does. Very good. Yes, Deborah.
I was thinking about means.
Yes.
And what came up is I feel like I'm on a little lower step here with my... and so I was thinking about vigilance in, like, decluttering all this
yes.
that goes on.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. If you don't undo, you will continue to do, and you will be doing the world. There's no important thing to do than the vigilance of watching what you're already addicted to. That's why so many other programs who just, you know, say you're perfect the way you are, get in touch with that. Your old habits, you're drowning in your habits of what I call endarkenment. The ego is endarkenment. You're drowning in it. If you don't have a practice of a choice where you go to put this drug down, you'll be drinking it every day, thinking you're better, but you're not. Spiritual ego. There's nothing more important than to be vigilant toward the ego. And what does it mean to let it go? Do we have time? That's a great little phrase. So would you open your book to page 332? It's so important. And mostly because you thought you were sitting on a lower step. So we have to look at how important this is. I think, is it 332 or 336? Now I forget. I think it's
332.
Hang on. It's probably 338. It's 338. And it's paragraph 6. So 338 on the bottom of the page, front of the book. 338, paragraph 6.
It changed the number.
This is very important that you see this in print. Would you read that for us? Did you highlight that one?
Yep. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it.
Period. That's enough. Well, all right. Read one more sentence.
It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false.
And then it basically says the same thing five more times in case you miss the first sentence. How important it is, how simple it is, but how vigilant you must be. You see, love is already. The fact is, the truth is already true. You've been practicing something that's not true, teaching yourself something that's not true for a long time. You don't have to go find love. I mean, it is already. But you got to stop doing the blocks, the awareness of love. That's what this whole book is about. That's your job. And it won't be done for you because that would be unkind to you, taking away some of your power and your freedom. Freedom to do what? Freedom to be miserable. Freedom to drink. Freedom to drug with the ego. I call it negative freedom. Even that will not be taken from you. Nothing will be taken from you. So it's up to you. Must be vigilant. Julie, what are you doing?
Remembering the eternal.
Oh, the E word. Yes. This is a goal of enlightenment. Because everything in the world has a start and a finish. All of it. It's all limited. Everything. Everything. In fact, not only is it start and finish, but it's all recycled. It's all reused. Something else died so you could live. That's the nature of the world and the ego. It's all material. It is not spiritual. It's not actually free. It's limited by design. The eternal, on the other hand, the eternal breaks that experience even as you behold it. But in order for you, in a world of limit, in a world of loss, doesn't everything here die? Even the rocks, they tumble into sand. And even the sand breaks down. How would you come to the... You would need a miracle. Mm-hmm. Miracle's a shift in perception from what's obvious to your eyeballs to what now becomes obvious to your mind of truth. Third eye opens for the eternal. You have your enlightenment. Yes, it's a guide. It's a wonderful guide. And with some vigilance to knowing what you're going for, you can have it. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Zoe, what are you doing?
I have done a lot and is listening to everybody go around. I think, oh my God, that's what I want. No, I'll take it. That's really terrific, you know. And so in the beginning, what I thought about is when you said means to ends, or...
Yep, means and ends.
Means and ends. Well, I learned that the end always justifies the means. I thought about that. And then I was thinking about I have to learn to unlearn everything I've learned.
Yes.
So that I can learn to just be. So, I just want to be.
Yes.
Because everything is contained within that limitless expansion.
Yes.
Of going beyond the little self to...
Just be. That means you would trust the truth, whatever the truth is. Just be that. You would trust it.
Yeah.
Unlearn all the other things and just see what happens. That takes courage.
And
it takes courage.
It's
not to use the ego and practice fighting and wording and...
It's fun.
Posturing and
scheming.
Image building.
But don't forget about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I mean, this is invaluable. Without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't do all this wonderful stuff we're talking about.
You have a guide.
Mm-hmm.
You have a guide. You already know about the unholy spirit. That's the ego.
Ego, right?
It says you better say the right thing at the right time or you're not lovable. That's the ego. The Holy Spirit is what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about, and I've come to really appreciate, even in a greater way, that there's nothing to do. And so when I'm sitting in that silence,
yes,
not thinking about
yes.
what should be done or
yes.
what's next
yes.
or what about them
yes.
or what about me or la la,
yes.
it's like things happen.
Things happen while you're
even better than what I could imagine.
As soon as you achieved, and I know you did this, and I remember you practically dancing in front of us as you described this awakening you had.
Yes.
Even as you do nothing, things happen that are beyond what you could have done. This is may you have your awakening and your enlightenment.
Yes.
Because that's what happens when you're no longer separately acting. You start to join with the bigger picture. You start to harmonize and join. And life happens now for real. This is because you've translated. You've had a translator operating that often is very quiet. And that the Holy Spirit, may you have your enlightenment. Beautiful. New guy. What was your name?
Mike.
Yeah.
I think Jay nailed it. The I that is doesn't want anything. The I that's talking wants more distractions to stay in the illusion.
Yeah.
So I'm here because the ego has an amazing wardrobe. Once it's busted, it goes downstairs and gets another Superman cape or Jesus robe. And so I just want to keep an eye on it, keep it out of the driver's seat. And keep it in the back seat. Since I'm wearing a meat suit, I gotta use it.
Yeah.
So I just want to keep it in the back seat.
Yeah. The I. You want to be free of that I that has to get a cape. So it can look like it's flying when it's really just running. What is that cape for?
Distraction.
It's such a distract. Make you look bigger, maybe. Hold it out with your elbows. You look bigger and stronger. Image. The eye. So, we learn Course in Miracles and with all your spiritual pursuits. You learn that there, that this word I, pretty short. It's like only one letter, even. But uttering that is at once, the same time. It's either the smallest thing you can refer to or the biggest understanding you can have. The I. But that depends if your Holy Spirit is in tow or if your unholy spirit is driving. Very good. Thank you. May you have your enlightenment.
Enlightenment? Well, I can't gain enlightenment. You got to lose everything.
Right on, brother. Trust that. I love it.
Anything else is in the way. It's just normal.
That's it.
I heard a man stood under a tree and got enlightened, and he realized that we were all one. And then he realized there was another guy that wasn't enlightened. So therefore, he couldn't be possibly enlightened if this other man wasn't enlightened.
Yeah. You know, who's our Buddhist here? The Bodhisattva Vow?
Oh, yeah. I can't recite it, but I know what it is.
I will not take enlightenment for myself. For I will see that all my brothers join with me, even though they are unnumbered and unlimited.
Oh, that's not the Bodhisattva Vow that
nope.
I know. But that's a good one.
That the Bodhisattva would not take enlightenment for himself.
Right,
he
right.
He would not leave behind.
Bodhisattva does.
He would not leave behind any aspect that was left, that was
right.
not yet free.
You get back on the wheel of samsara. Until everybody is free.
Yeah, because after all,
he's enlightened, but he decides to come back.
He's just on the cusp of transcendence. He can see it.
Right.
He can see it. He can touch it. But he says, I wouldn't want freedom without all of me.
Like the Marines, you never leave no
man. Don't leave a man behind.
That's it.
Mark, what are you doing? What are you doing, Mark?
Are you a devil?
A what?
I definitely
want to be free.
Are you a Marine?
Okay.
No. Okay, I was just wondering.
I want to be free. I want to be free.
Mm-hmm. Inner peace.
Inner peace. Bottom line. Do you know free is a four-letter word?
It starts with F, too.
It starts with F, and it's a four-letter word?
It's one of my favorite F words. She visits every once in a while.
Who's our cat whisperer?
Bridget.
Bridget's not here.
Yeah. Sorry, Bridget. I'm trying to hear both missing. Do we have a cat whisperer in the room?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, but...
Sharon?
Someone who's willing to pick up
candy. She ignores me. I've been trying.
Give her a little distraction.
Not supposed to be in there, right?
Kind of help her back to the freedom of the great outdoors. That is a cat whisperer.
Her name's Katrina.
Katrina?
She knows.
She's in there.
She's
out there.
All the way out. She knows where she's supposed to be.
Out with you.
Well, let's get an inch of chaos. Come in and visit it.
You know, it's an old Zen story.
Did she come in through that window?
She popped right through the window. She comes through either one. We don't see her. And there's a...
First time.
Long ago, there was a cat lover, monk, master, and he would have his satsangs, and he'd set up his room, and he would do his... And the cat, meanwhile, wander through all these peaceful, sitting, meditating monks, and the cat would jump on their lap and crawl over their heads, and they were distracted by the cat kneading his hands into their shaven heads. So he decided, we're going to take the cat... And we're going to tie it to the edge of this, of his little podium area. What do you call that on the stage?
The dais.
The dais. Tie it to the edge of the dais. And then the cat, for an hour or two, would just stay right there and be quiet. And then so years went by, and then now it was much better because people would meditate and quiet, and then we'd have a cat walking on them, and things went great. But one day, that guy... The grand monk, he died. But the next guy in line made sure that the cat wouldn't wander around. And then, after years and years passed, he also died, and this long-lived cat. And then the cat died. But the third, fifth monk would then have to go out and get a cat because nobody felt they could sit in that room without a cat tied to the dais because some energy was wrong. So for many, many, many years, I had to have a cat tied to the dais. For no reason at all! Let's not get addicted to any ways of the old. Mm. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. May you have your enlightenment. May you have your freedom. Yes. Barbara.
A lot of things, and a lot of things have been said. Initially... Dave, that's you? You're Dave?
Yeah. Okay.
Said that he wanted to practice forgiveness without the ego's definition of forgiveness. Nice. And I sort of have the same thing about wanting to learn to love, but not with the ego's attachments to it.
Yes.
That... And learn to extend that in a way that's authentic and isn't about projecting what
right.
the ego wants.
Very good.
But I also want to hear, what's your name? Your name?
John.
John, okay. John mentioned the Holy Spirit. And I want to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in all of the ways that it speaks. And I want to learn, or I want to remember to ask the Holy Spirit for what I need, because I get it when I ask.
Because you do.
That's right.
This much you know.
That's right.
Another truth has fallen into this room.
Yes. You know, it's, can I just say something, God, just on the topic? Because the reason I'm here is because I learned something just yesterday of going back into my past and forgiving my past and going through everything that's been bugging me, that's been holding me down, and to go with the Holy Spirit into the truth of just forgiving it and just, oh gosh, it's like brand new, and letting go. You talk about fasting. Oh.
Right.
That's an undoing, isn't it?
It's beyond undoing.
Yeah.
It's just like letting go, and it's just like this whole brand new world. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm free.
Yes.
And it's just, it's so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to ground that in an experience. I'm waiting for divorce papers to arrive.
Yeah.
I've been married for 40 years.
Whoa.
And so I'm full of fear.
Yes.
And judgment and blame.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Lots of ego stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I wake up in the middle of the night in fear. And to me, that is the ego never sleeps. You know what I mean? I can wake up in full-blown...
The ego is practicing while you're sleeping.
Because it's scared.
That's what it does.
I'm listening
to
the
Holy Spirit.
All
right, everybody, this is for Barbara. And we need to do it anyway, at least once a month. Turn to page 410 in the workbook, lesson 236. So now, flip to the back of the book, and you'll find a 400 back there also, right? Because there's a couple of books tied into one book. Now, it's in the workbook lessons section, and it's page 410. At the bottom of the page, it says 410. And
I knew this
was going to be that one. And look what we have. Lesson 236.
410.
And Barbara, would you read that for
me? Sure.
For the whole thing.
Lesson 236. I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. I have a kingdom I must rule. At times it does not seem that I am its king at all. It seems to triumph over me and tell me what to think and what to do and feel. And yet it has been given me, to serve whatever purpose I perceive in it. My mind can only serve. Today I give it service to the Holy Spirit to employ as He sees fit. I thus direct my mind, which I alone can rule, and thus I set it free to do the will of God. Father, my mind is open to your thoughts and closed today to every thought but yours. I rule my mind and offer it to you. Accept my gift, for it is yours to me.
Do you see the circle? Do you see the ownership? Do you see the freedom that is presumed that you have? And now it's just for you to be aware of it.
So after reading this morning, I sat and asked the Holy Spirit to help me stop those thoughts because they've been so heavy.
Oh, yeah. Anybody else here divorced? Is anybody else? We have a little experience in this room. We got a couple hands are low. Some are high. Yeah, thank God. Some are like, I don't know. We got.
Yes. And the Holy Spirit did. Yeah. And I had a great day.
Yes.
I had a light day.
Yes.
So I could go up a step.
Up a step.
And so
up a step.
It
yes.
works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
the thing. But you have to ask.
But, Julie, what is it about the word but that we should recognize?
Record scratch.
Record scratch. And it's true for Course in Miracles as it is in the world. When somebody's talking along, and they say a bunch of things, either good or bad. And then they say, but...
Nothing before that matters.
Nothing before... You can forget everything they just said. They're about to give you the bottom line.
Yeah.
But if you don't choose, if you don't ask for lightness, if you don't ask for the step up, you're asking for a step down. This is the point of practice. This is the point of the means that we are, this are what we're going to, how we're going to get to our goal that we've all stated so far, you must take these steps. They do get easier, by the way. And those people been here for a while, you know this is true. The first couple steps were a little shaky, but they're fortified, and they get easier as you go.
This is step 3 in the 12-step program.
Is it?
Yep.
Aha!
I mean, it's a variation, but it's not. It's the same thing.
Nice. The truth is true no matter where you look for it. Or find it, I should say. Yes. Mm-hmm. Good, good. Thank you. May you have your enlightenment. And you're in the right place, the right book. Oh, my God. Yeah. I would not want to go through divorce without A Course in Miracles.
Yeah. Did you have kids out of here 40 years?
I did.
Okay. You know, interesting that you brought that up because I just had a conversation with my son. Anyway, we were divorced when he was 10 months old, but his mother passed away when he was 12. He's going to be 35 on March 11th. But I talked to him, tell him that I was in this new journey of letting go. But I said, you know what? I have to let go of what the things that I went through in my hell, in my journey of divorce and the chaos of the financial stuff and everything. But I told him that your mom is present here with us because it took her to create you. And, you know, it took two of us. But I told him that I forgave the past. She is present with us. Because I'm going to tell you, it took me and her to bring you into this life. And I just wanted her to be a part of it.
Yes.
In a sense of, you know, I'm going to tell you through this.
Yeah. But Mario's practicing forgiveness.
I've been through two situations where right after that, fathering that first child, I fathered another one and went through the same hell. Yeah. But anyway, both of their mothers died.
Yeah. So this is the world. The world's good for now. Mario's working it.
Yeah.
With letting go of what otherwise the world could just beat him down.
Yeah.
And make his life darker and darker still.
That's why I'm here. Because, you know, when I found this miracle.
Yeah.
And finding that shift in my, it took a while, but the thing is, it's just, now I know the truth.
Mario's the one that showed us the wisdom of that path when he said, first you buy the engagement ring and then the wedding ring and then you get the supper ring. Mario, that's some of his best work. Loanne, what are you hoping to get from this journey?
I want to know that I am of love and loving.
Yes.
That's what I want to get, but, and that's a good but. And what I know.
Don't forget everything you just said. She still wants to be loving and get love.
I'm probably never going to change that every time you ask that question.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't need to start my next sentence with but. I need to start it with the way I am getting to it. Is I always have been able to get a feel of it every once in a while.
Yes. Oh, thank goodness.
What I am determining the means for me is to experience miracles.
Yes.
And my miracles are coming by reading the book, doing the lessons, coming to this class, and then when I have any kind of an incident in my life that gives me a negative feeling,
yep,
I go and ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do with this feeling now?
Now. Now. Not later. You can do it later if you're so out of sorts, right? And the world's coming at you too fast to do your workbook lesson, to even think Course in Miracles. You just handle it in whatever way you've got, and it might be ugly. Still go back. When you come back to peace, when the dark car doors close and you feel safe again, and do your work then.
What I'm noticing,
it still works. Forgiveness works in the past. Forgiveness works in the present. In other words, if you can forgive it, it's there to be forgiven.
So what I'm noticing, for me, one aspect of the miracle is that every time I have an incident that I need to correct, I go to the Holy Spirit and I get an answer, and then when I do what I've been told to do, I feel different.
Because you asked.
Because I asked. I've been in the habit of asking for years.
If you don't ask, Your mind remains closed and you keep whatever habits you're already practicing. Ask just means you open your mind. You allow the Holy Spirit to weigh in. Where is the Holy Spirit?
Middleman.
Where is the Holy Spirit? Where do you find the Holy Spirit?
Within
inside.
What?
Inside,
everywhere. Deep down within.
Inside. The Holy Spirit is in your mind.
Higher mind.
It's a higher mind. It's quietly, calmly, not worried about a thing, because it knows that nothing is actually happening. Your unholy spirit is worried about everything. Also, in your mind.
Yeah.
Oh! The problem and the answer are in the same place?
Yeah. That's what the book calls a divided mind.
They're in the same place. They're in the exact same place. Look at page 595. Paragraph 12.
Beginning or end?
Yeah. In the beginning. It's kind of in the middle of the book. You kind of crack the book in half and then go backwards until you find 595. And 595?
I want 585 on it.
Yes.
I need a better prescription.
You need a shift in perception. Yeah. Those glasses. Did you know this is coming?
595 is where I'm reading right now.
Well, that's handy.
I mean, I just got through reading it this morning.
What I want you to focus on here, we could spend a weekend on this one paragraph. This is A Course in Miracles in a single paragraph. But I want you to focus on now what we've just been discussing. Is that miracles exist where there are problems. They're not miracles in heaven. There's no miracles in joy.
There's no problems in heaven.
There's no problems in heaven. This is one way to describe heaven, whatever that is. Miracles. Well, let's just read this wonderful paragraph. Jay, would you read this for us?
Yeah, which one?
12.
Yeah. am I on the same page?
This world?
Nope, got to go a few more pages.
See?
How are you going to read the paragraph if you can't see?
I'm getting old. Yeah, that's a feeling. All right. 12.
Yep.
The world is full of miracles. They stand in shining silence next to every dream of pain and suffering, of sin and guilt. They are the dream's alternative, the choice to be the dreamer rather than deny the active role in making up the dream. They are the glad effects of taking back the consequences of sickness to its cause. The body is released because the mind acknowledges, this is not done to me, but I am doing this. And thus the mind is free to make another choice instead. Beginning here, salvation will proceed to change the course of every step in the descent to separation until all the steps have been retraced, the latter gone, and all the dreaming of the world undone.
Amen. That's what a miracle is for. That's where you find miracles. Is right when you're having difficulty, there's a miracle planted for you right behind that divorce and every thought about it that's giving you difficulty. There's a miracle that'll shift your perception of whatever aspect of this is coming or has already come. Shift it now to use the Holy Spirit's perspective. And freedom is coming. Not only is it going to be okay, there is a healing there that's waiting. Now, the ego, of course, will use all the dark thoughts and take you down the staircase. If you don't use the Holy Spirit, the unholy spirit will have its way with you. That's what it does. The world's great for that. Yes?
It won't even call you in the morning.
Well, I just wanted to point out that the lessons are designed so that you will have miracles, because you can't realize the lessons unless you have a miracle. The lessons are miracles.
Yes. The lessons move your mind so that you can open to hear the Holy Spirit.
Right.
to see the light where otherwise you would see dark. Julie then, behind the post, if the light's coming from Barbara, she would just learn with the Course in Miracles to stand up. And she'd move from the post, and the light would be, and then she would see. It is a shift in perception that's called for and needed if you are sitting in shadow.
So that's does it stand to reason that the problem allows for the miracle to come through?
Oh, yes. Not only that, but the problem describes the miracle.
Right.
That's needed.
You can't see the miracle without seeing the problem first.
That's right. No problem, no miracle.
Yeah.
You can also
set the parameters of the
little contract here.
Yes,
in
yes.
The dual world, right?
And also, the problem will also describe the forgiveness required.
Yeah.
In detail. Who needs a fuzzy forgiveness that's general? Oh, I'm just going to love everybody.
Mm-hmm. Isn't forgiveness just seeing through the illusion that it's all bullcrap?
Yes.
Okay.
But really?
Well, there's nothing to forgive.
Really? That's only, that's only the willingness.
There's nothing to forgive if there's nothing wrong.
There's nothing to forgive if there's nothing wrong.
Right.
But then if you feel like you need to forgive, there's something wrong.
Wrong. Absolutely.
And you're in the drug. Mm-hmm. So if you try to forgive and you think there's something wrong,
you're just reinforcing it.
You are.
Uh-huh.
It will not leave you. It'll probably get stronger because you'll feel bad that you didn't do something about it this time, right? But the miracle actually relieves your mind that there's anything that needs to be done or fixed out there.
So kind of what I've been doing without any training is trying to see that there really hasn't been anything, trying to understand that they were falling prey to the illusion.
Yes. Just like you have.
Oh, they're just being a non-player character in a video game.
Just like
they're
you just have before.
They're programming.
Yes.
They didn't do anything wrong. They're just doing all they know to do.
Takes one to know one.
Yeah.
So what he just described is compassion.
Yes.
Because wait a minute, he's been there. He's done it. He's seen people struggle. He's seen that what they said they didn't mean, well, that's because what he said he didn't mean at some point. Or he's
that's such a disconnect, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Chaos.
So you're asking to be authentic.
Yes.
And congruent.
Yes.
And then you can really have this forgiveness.
Be loving instead of fearful. You could, when you're loving, when you actually are love, then whatever you say, even if it's the wrong word, comes out loving. You notice that? You've done it. Everybody's done it. You've seen it. You say the wrong word, but the right intention came through. It was still loving, even though you said the wrong word. Now.
That's one of my dog things, anyway.
Yeah. I love your dogs. But if you're actually trying to get something with your conversations, special relationship, even though we're trying to reconcile our situation here, we've had a little difficulty, Jay. If you say it the wrong way, I am going to hang you with those words, right? Because special relationship, conditional. He's got to be perfect while he's walking this thin line with me after what he did, says the ego. But if we move to the Holy Spirit and we're actually trying to join, I want him to say the right thing, even if he uses the wrong words. I'm going to hear the right thing.
So vulnerability, and you join with them, right? With
I am not defending or attacking.
This woman was in a train station in the course recently, and she got scared. She asked Holy Spirit, "Oh, I do." So she asked this man, "Can you walk me to my car? I'm really scared." He said, "I was the one." She goes, "What do you mean? I was going to mug you."
Yeah.
But because he couldn't see her as other no more.
Yeah.
And they had joined.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they had walked a couple of blocks, and she kept hearing his footsteps.
You know the story, then.
I heard the same story. She heard his footsteps. She was getting more and more nervous, block by block, as the lights were getting further away and the streets were getting darker, and she was more alone with these footsteps behind her. And she thought, "Wait a minute! I got to change my perception. I got to shift out of this fear of running from this guy being attacked by him." And she stopped and turned, and she asked him, "Would you help guide me home?" And so he did. He walked with her all the way to the doorstep, and he admitted, "You know what? I was."
Oh, I thought it was your car.
It was a car. I was the one. I was after you. But because you asked for my help, somehow I had to drop it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's because you join it. The ego is this game of separation.
Yeah.
But when you join
the game,
you
the can't dance, right?
See that person as other. You can only see them as you.
And you dance the music of fear, then loss is the chorus. Okay, now, Carol, what are you doing here?
Wow. Enjoying all of this. Wow. Every single one of these.
All teachers. Teachers, all of us.
Yeah. I've changed my mind about what I was going to say about 25 times. I was finally, it is to have a real state of freedom, to live in a yes. state of real freedom.
Not just have it or touch it, but to live it.
Right.
To actually live it honestly, and freely.
And freely, right.
May you have your enlightenment.
That's the ultimate. And to live with awareness.
Yes.
But freedom is so many things, you know, lack of judgment. Knowing that there are no accidents, I think that's a really...
You don't have to define freedom, Carol.
Yeah.
If you do, the ego will try to get in there and give it conditions. Oh, my God. But you know, like Mark does, it's very simple. And it's becoming more simple the more you study what this freedom actually means. But I'll tell you something else that you are in for a ride for. You're in for a ride for. All of us are in for this ride. Same for peace and for love, especially love. Holy cannoli. As you approach it, like the Bodhisattva, as you approach it, its meaning expands. Its inclusiveness expands. Before it was, I just want to be free. I want to stop arguing and worrying or whatever, right? But as you awaken, and your compassion arises. Now there's more love to be had and to be. There's more freedom that you didn't even know could be had. Occurs to you. It's a beautiful thing. It takes arms bigger than your body has to embrace. And it's a wonderful thing to discover. But it is a wonderful. But it sure starts. It sure starts with choosing freedom.
Yeah.
A simplicity and honesty in the current moment. For you. Beautiful. Brother John, what are you hoping to get from this?
Well, I'm just trying to do my humble part in approaching my eventual enlightenment.
Yes.
Which is not just for me, though, I realize. It's not just, it's for everybody.
Yes.
And this much I can say with assurance. But what I'm realizing at this time is, as I do the course, it's like what was said in the text somewhere, that you will take two steps forward and one step back. Two steps forward and one step back. And I'm realizing that now. I mean,
yes.
The more I do the course, I get good things out of it. I practice forgiveness more often. Not often enough, of course, but... I forgive myself for that, at least. And so, as I just do the course, I'm getting somewhere, but not as fast as I'd like. but that's okay too.
Yes.
And I'm in a, because it needs to be a challenge for me, because that's how I understand it.
Yes.
Success.
You wouldn't accept the progress were it not made through
hard won.
Yes.
And that's just my own thinking. But the thing, I meant the part of the course now, the latter part, I'm in like a 334, I believe, my lesson today. And I was getting, you know, close to the end. And these are the most challenging lessons I've dealt with in the past. I mean, they're tough to get. And you don't want to get them. Your ego is fighting. At least mine is. My ego is fighting.
Yes.
And it's like, so it throws up shit in my life. I project stuff in my life that
this is why, John,
ego based.
This is why when you get to 334 in these later lessons, and you start to see the challenge of your awakening to be so free under those circumstances of those lessons, you might need a whole nother Course in Miracles to get them. But then you start the book over, and there it is. A whole new Course in Miracles. Somehow, in the same pages. Yeah. Who put that there?
Yeah. But there's a series of lessons. There's kind of a packet of about maybe 6 lessons about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And this I do like. Yeah. I love it.
Yes.
Actually, it's something really reinforcing my concept of forgiveness, bringing it from my head to my heart.
So now it's for real.
Yeah.
You had a simpler type of forgiveness when you started, just to have a more peaceful life, but now it has a lot more meaning.
Yeah.
A lot more meaning.
But deeper.
Deeper. Yeah. Hey, she's back. Okay, you know, meeting's almost over, so we can just leave her here for now. Take a look at page 15. At the very front of the book, page 15. And there's probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 places that I've noted where it talks about this bodhisattva vow, as I understand it. Page 15. And look at the bottom of the page. The very bottom of the page, on that paragraph 3, sentence 13. Sentence 13. And Barbara, if you're there, would you read that for us? 13 and 14.
It's at the very bottom.
Yeah.
13. As long as a single slave remains to walk the earth, your release is not complete. Mm-hmm. Complete restoration of the sonship is the only goal of the miracle-minded. Mm-hmm. Did I say that loud enough?
You did. Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes, Brother John. Mm-hmm. It's not for you alone. The fact that you could be alone, that was the whole problem.
That's the separation.
That's the separation. So yes, indeed. That's your awakening. May you have your enlightenment. Thank you.
Yeah. Just getting there. Getting there.
Yes. Brittany's mom, do you have something?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Mine is, where did I lose myself in this life?
Yeah.
Okay. Somewhere I lost myself.
I hope.
And I'm trying to.
I hope you never get a good answer for that.
Yeah. Hmm.
If she gets a good answer to that, then she could stay lost.
Could be a Superman.
I didn't quite hear what you said. Do you
mind? Was, where did I lose myself? I feel like I'm lost right now. Hmm.
I hope you never get an answer, because that means you should be lost. If your mind and everything puts together a picture, you know what, this happened, and then this happened, and then that happened. That's why I'm lost.
You want to reinforce the idea.
You reinforce the idea.
And analyzation, too.
And then you analyze it, you justify it, and then you figure out how much
worse
it is.
You're wearing a Superman cape.
Yeah. You got a good cape.
Then you're wearing a cape.
You got a good cape.
You've created a story.
You got a story that cements the reasoning why you're lost, and anybody like you should be lost, but you're probably not as bad because after all this happened, then you'll stay lost. So tell you what, just try this idea on, just for tonight maybe. Forget about it. You can't actually be lost unless you decide you're lost, and then you will have what you decide. If you stop just for a moment, you take a few breaths, and you look where you are right now, you're found. I found you. I found you. There you are. There's nothing else to be found. Therefore, you are not lost. There's nothing more for you to find than just what you can in this very moment, next to your daughter and all these loving people.
Where you're at in the sonship.
That's it.
It's almost like when I first went to my therapist, every time he said, "What do you want to talk about?" I said, "I don't know." When I was saying, I lost myself, I thought. So what I'm sitting here now knowing is, if I lost myself, there is a myself to have lost, and I just need to find it.
And Morty, there's something that thinks it lost something. That's page lesson 318. Let's go there real quick, because we only have 1 minute.
Real quick.
Gosh, but you can't miss this, and Julie's been spouting this for weeks. 318. I'm sorry, page 459 at the bottom, in the back. The very back of the book, quarter an inch or so, just a sliver of book left. find page 459 at the bottom. It says 459. We're going to lesson 318, but at the bottom of the page it says 459. Am I getting better? Yeah, is it working?
Yeah.
Is everybody there? Did I do it? Did I do it? You don't know what accomplishment that was. All right.
Lots of highlighting here.
Now, we're short on time, so I just want to take you right to paragraph 1, sentence 5. Bottom of that paragraph, there's a message here for you, Brittany's mom. What's your name?
Kristen.
Kristen. There's a message for you here tonight. You come all this way. And sitting there in black and white is a message for you from the truth, called the Holy Spirit. This is for your own mind to recognize the truth. It's printed for you. We'll always be here forever. It's not a lot of words, so we should read it slowly. I was created as the thing I seek. You were created as love. That's how you know that you can be love. You know this. You know this. And if your practice leaves you anything less than free, then you know, I need to choose differently. Because the truth is, it's a circle. You were created by love, by freedom. You were created as the very thing that you seek. That way you can always find it. And you always will if you just do nothing else. If you just do nothing else, you will find what you seek. It's the secret of those monks that sit in the cave for so long, trying to achieve nothing, but honestly nothing. Stillness. Real presence. And you know what they say when they get there? Ah, there I am. They've been sitting there the whole time. Since day one. But finally, after 20 years, they say, ah, there I am.
There's another 8-word sentence that says the same thing. It's an amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Yes. All right. We have two more people.
Let's run late.
Okay, run a little late. I promise we'll move it along.
It's only time.
I know, but you know, I try to keep my word.
Well, we started.
Oh yeah, you know what? We did start a little late.
It's so all our fault for coming here. Yeah. Maybe couldn't find a parking place.
Brittany, what is it? What will your freedom look like?
So, first of all, I just want to say I really enjoyed everyone's answers, and it definitely makes me think a lot. But for me personally, what kept coming to my mind, because I have had that spiritual awakening, is choice.
So, in one word...
Choice.
In one word, choice, she has described what this book says is the only power you have left. You've gone away from love and God and perfection and heaven and wholeness and creativity. You've gone away from that to here. Where you seem like you're a victim all the time. To age, to hunger, to coldness, to money issues, to too much, to too little, whatever. The whole world designed as a limit. Where you be a victim. Course says, you've managed to come all this way into this much darkness. But because of what, I did not say who, what you are, you have one power remaining. Of course, Miracles describes this with a lot more words. You have one power remaining. Choice.
Somewhere in the Bible it says that too.
That's a nice enlightenment. Mm-hmm. To discover that even though you may feel a victim, that you may feel the world's ruling you, to know for certain that you have choice. This is an awakening, a certain awakening. This book is designed to hand you, but with certainty, not with guessing or hoping, but with knowing. That's a great enlightenment. May you have your enlightenment. Cecily? Cecilia?
So, I want to just tell it.
What's your name? We got to get them all together. It's the only way I'm going to.
Celise.
Cecily.
Shireen.
Oh, okay. I'm working it. What are you hoping to get?
So, I have to tell mine through a really brief story of something that happened to me this past weekend. I went to visit my college-age son, who's 18, in Colorado, and I took him and his girlfriend and my 12-year-old, and we went to Vail to go skiing. And my son's girlfriend has a lot of issues and problems and chronic health problems, and there was a lot of delays that started happening right from day one with her needing to, you know, not feeling well, wanting to sleep in, taking a long time, not liking her skis, not feeling well, pulling a muscle. And I was really able to watch my ego want really very much to interpret and judge the situation and place a value judgment. But I was so aware of it, and I was like standing back watching my ego wanting to judge it and then wanting so much and being able to look at, and some of these words you guys used, forgiveness, remembering the eternal, and choice. I was able to use those three concepts and be like, this is like the world, society, the ego says we should like get dressed, have our breakfast, go ski all day, blah, blah, blah. Like, and so I was judging it against that like ego perspective. I could see my ego wanting to do that, but I was able to be like, that's bullshit. Like, that doesn't really, like, that's not how I'm going to operate this weekend. Like, I love being here with my son and his girlfriend, and I just want to, like, be here. And I see her not as this list of problems. I see her not as impeding on our day, as lack, as taking away from, like, actually, like, did that. It was so cool. And it felt so good to see that situation, to forgive, to just be like, whatever. Like, I just saw through it. I saw past it. Yes. And that's what I want more of. And I'm like, give me some more opportunities. Like, let's do this again. That was fun.
Wow. Do you hear the celebration in her voice, of course?
Yeah.
This is a mother, and she's got a daughter that was a teenage daughter, is this teenage daughter. And there's been, of course, difficulty along the way, not getting things exactly the way you would plan. But she's had a course of miracles these last couple of years. How long has it been?
Two.
Only 2 years. But it was a 2 years needed right when it came. Because struggling against this girl was making things worse. And you've taught us all along the way how releasing the fight actually let the fight go. And the fight didn't happen.
Plenty of options. Resist, persist, right?
You resist, persist, and you make it stronger. And so it's like learning to dance with somebody who's not a perfect dancer. You can still dance. You're going to have to watch out for your toes. Maybe just focus on the music instead of the right steps.
Yeah.
And so she had music with that weekend. And those people. And it was more important for her to just be dancing than it was to do any particular step. Thank
it
you.
Was choice.
It's beautiful.
It was choice.
Use choice. Yeah. It's choice to be loving. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Much better way to live than.
That's what I mean by relying on the Holy Spirit. The choice is to do that rather than whatever else comes up.
Oh, it just makes for a better life and world.
Yeah.
And now the Holy Spirit can talk to you through the world's difficulties. Through the world's difficulties, it will talk to you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Every time I need a lesson, I get one. A life experience comes up, and there's a lesson that's teaching you what to do with it.
Okay, everything we just did, thank you very much, was so that we could properly finish the paragraph we read last week.
But we're out of time.
I'm going to read that paragraph.
You said time was an illusion, Jay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to read you that paragraph just so in case you come back next week, you can know what we did. And we're setting up. I'm just going to read the paragraph, then we'll have our circle. Okay. This is page 439. Paragraph 1. And watch the title of the section, Consistency of Means and End. That was our work last week was on consistency, and now we've done means and end. But we said much about discrepancies of means and end, and what you do and where you go, right? Page 439. Paragraph 1, we'll do 2 next week.
We did one last week.
I know, but we really didn't finish it.
Oh, okay.
But with this discussion we have, because you really have to understand what it is we're doing. And I think we beautifully described that tonight. It's very important for this whole section that we spend time as we did tonight. So we've said much about discrepancies of means and end. And this is in the front part of the book, page 439. If you're in the back of the book, there's also 439, but it's not the white one. So go to the front of the book and then find 439 at the bottom of the page. Yeah.
It's kind of in the middle, but I'm a little
It's called the text.
Yeah. It's one third of the way through.
About a third of the way through. We've said much about discrepancies of means and end and how these must be brought in line before your holy relationship can bring you only joy. But we've also said the means to meet the Holy Spirit's goal will come from the same capital S source as does his purpose. Being so simple and direct, this course has nothing in it that's not consistent. The seeming inconsistencies or parts that you find more difficult than others, they're merely indications of areas where means and end are still discrepant. And this produces great discomfort. Well, this need not be. This course requires almost nothing of you. Lowercase y-o-u. It's impossible to imagine one that asks so little or could offer more. Means and end. Let's have a circle.
Woo! What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful circle.
What a beautiful circle. Take a deep breath. Feel the hands that are holding your hands. This is proof that you are not alone. This is proof you can never be alone. This is one of the means, if you want, just those feelings of those palms in your hands right now, if you want. This is one of the means that you can use to remember you can never be alone. Your enlightenment will come from your simply resisting the lack of love or lack or a freedom, a chasing of freedom rather than just being free. This is something that you would do by not doing anything else. Let this be your gift, that you have the confidence and courage to know that love is and peace is, right now, in whatever situation you think you're going through, just by doing nothing else. You are the thing. You were created as the thing that you seek. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Lots of teachers here.
I know. Exactly. My friend just told me that.
I'm going to go to the grocery store at night time. You know, it's just like...